Welcome to Taboo and Turn On. I'm your host, Natalie Bartanian, and this is a podcast where we have real talk about real things, where we shed light on taboo topics and explore what it truly means to live a turned on life. I'm so glad you've joined, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Music by bensound.com. So today's conversation is with a dear friend of mine, Jessica Cartwright. I met her a few years ago, actually, when I was visiting a friend of mine in Bozeman, and just instantly loved Jessica's energy and her just worldview and worldliness, and just her approach to things is both very grounded and practical, but we also share that love of mysticism and energy work and healing. And so Jess is a healer, she's a mentor, she's a yoga teacher, she's also a coach, and she specializes in helping moms. Her big thing is supporting yourself so that you can support others. And we are going to have a really juicy conversation today around this topic of motherhood and connection with your partner that I really don't feel gets talked about enough. So thank you, Jess, for being here with me and being willing to talk about all this.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. And I love having these conversations because, especially with moms, you just see people light up when they're like, oh, that's for me too. Or, you know, they've been wondering what other people feel. And for non-moms, it's usually like, oh, I had no idea that's what you go through. Tell me more. So it's fun to have someone asking these questions and being able to openly talk about them. So thanks for providing that space.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I've told you a gazillion times, but I'll just say it for everyone else, is one of the things I love about Jess so much is that she literally does speak to the taboo part of motherhood, which is sharing the light and the shadow. Like there's a lot that goes into motherhood, and you know, a lot of times we only see that everything's great, I love my kid, and not the I'm tired and my kids drive me crazy. And and I love that about you, Jess, that you are willing to just show the complete picture. But it is always in service of the highest. You know, you're not saying don't be a mom. You're just saying, like, I just want you to know, like, this, and it's okay to feel these things, right?
Yes, totally. Yeah, I find it so conflicting. Like, I have friends from, you know, from high school per se, and I see their posts and they look like they're just radiant and happy and having this amazing time, when sometimes I'm like struggling and tired and have like puke on me and just oh my God, everyone else is just like not having these issues. And then I find out, you know, behind the scenes, once I actually talk, like maybe they've been struggling with depression and they hide the parts of their body they don't like, and they aren't even necessarily sure they like being a mom, you know, and that's stuff that I never would have known from surface level. And to me, that's stuff that's really, really important, because without that solidarity, none of us could really make it through. Or if we do, we just feel so much more lonely. And then by talking about that, we release it. And it just feels really freeing to me. And I think it's important, and I'm happy to be the one to share those things. One of my favorite stories that my midwife told me, she's a good mom friend of mine, great mentor. She has six kids, and my daughter was struggling to sleep at night and really frustrating me. Even though I could tell she was frustrated and I felt for that, I was also at my end's wit. Yeah. And I reached out to her, and she said, you know, sometimes you're a good mom for not throwing your baby out the window.
Oh my God.
It's just like exactly what I needed to hear to lighten myself up and be like, you're right. Like I might not be super mom right now, but I'm doing well enough, and that makes me a good mom.
You're like, I get 5 gold stars today.
Yeah. And like, obviously that's drastic, but like, I just want moms to remember that sometimes it's a real thought that you just want to like be done and not have to have this external pressure and always be thinking about someone else. And and that being said, I also feel like I was born to be a mom. I've known forever that I want to be, and it is a miraculous experience. But I think if we hide the dark, then we don't get the full experience. And to me, the full experience is where the beauty lies. So yes. I'm glad to help other women feel the full spectrum of it.
Oh my God, I love it. Well, and this does, again, speak to that can't have the turn on around motherhood without really kind of addressing and being with and embracing the taboo pieces too, right? Like that, again, that light and that dark. So I would love to hear about just what had you want to focus on helping moms and what you hold is possible for moms.
Absolutely. In my first trimester, it was one of the most depressed, or the most depressed I've ever been in my life. And I think a lot of that was hormones, but a bigger part of it was just the shift in identity and feeling like I was going to lose so much identity by becoming a mom. Yeah. And we bought a house not downtown. And I felt like, you know, I cried to my partner, like, we're just going to move to the burbs and people are just going to think I'm a housewife. And I used to be this sexy yogi traveler. And I really had to come to terms with that. And one of my friends was like, you know, you just really need to own this, like start teaching prenatal yoga, start incorporating this as part of your life. And that to me was such a huge transition. And one thing I've realized is moms are amazing. And yeah, maybe, you know, we wore more comfortable shoes, but I don't think that's being a mom. I think that's being in your 30s versus your 20s. And I think, you know, I really want moms to feel sexy and confident and reclaim motherhood. And to me, it's something that is esteemed and wonderful. And I just wanted for myself and for other people to erase any connotation of it being like drab and plain and boring. And instead, like, yes, your life changes. I'm a big believer in, like, my life is not the same as when I had kids. I don't do things the same, but it's shifted and it's changed and it's better. And I want it to be all the things that I wanted to feel before, which is sexy, which is, you know, nurturing, which is healing. And it's important to me to embody that and to help other women feel that as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. So yeah, let's dive into this sexy and confident thing, because I feel like that is another one of those things of, I feel like moms want that. Maybe. And maybe this is the conversation. But
we all don't.
Right. That's what I think. I would think, yep. But then there's this way that there isn't access, or like it feels like there's no access to that after you become a mom. And so I'm just, yeah, I would just love to hear kind of like your journey around that, of kind of reclaiming that part and balancing that part of motherhood and kind of sexy wife, right? And
absolutely. Yeah. And I think the most important thing to note is that it goes through cycles and rhythms, because sometimes, like, I feel really sexy now and my daughter is 17 months old, so I've had a lot of time to go through a journey. And then sometimes I'm exhausted at the end of the day. My partner's been working the whole day and he comes home, and honestly, the last thing I do is want to be touched. And I think that's a really valid emotion. But I think that if it's your 100% all the time emotion, then it's worth exploring more. And so for me, part of my journey is, you know, to me, sex is a very energetic thing, and I need to feel very deeply, intimately connected to my partner. And after my baby was born, I felt that more than ever. But physically, my body had changed so much. I had lost a lot of weight in high school, and then I found yoga and really maintained a balanced, healthy lifestyle. And I gained about 60 plus pounds during pregnancy. So after I had my baby, I had some other like breastfeeding trauma, and my body was just taking a long time to heal. And the last thing that I felt was sexy. And I think in the beginning, it's really important for that to be okay, because in the beginning, you're there to bond with your baby and build that intimacy and connection that doesn't have to do with sex and your body's healing. And I don't remember exactly. Oh, I do remember. Yep. The first time that we had sex again that I enjoyed, it was July 3rd. And
I love that the date is like marked in history.
Well, it was marked in history because I was like, oh my God, I can feel this again. Oh. And there were literally fireworks going off outside during. And I was like, oh, that's how I feel. Like, and I wasn't sure how that would feel. But my daughter was born in March. So March, April, May, June, July, like four months or so. Yeah, I just was really glad that it came back. And then it went away for a while. And when I say it, I mean like the desire to feel sexy, the desire to want to be intimate in that way. And I think a lot of it too, like I didn't feel very comfortable in my body after my baby was born, and I felt grateful for it because it was providing for her the things that she needed. But I had a lot of stuff come up surrounding body image that I just needed to work on, and I needed the time and space, and it took a few months to have that time and space. And, you know, it includes like being able to exercise and have those healthy endorphins. But overall, it took me probably 13 to 14 months to feel like I was back at a healthy norm in terms of maybe just a balanced place in my body again. And I wasn't in a hurry to like try and lose postpartum weight or anything like that. I just walked and did gentle yoga, and I'm really glad that I trusted that all would work out in due time. And I just loved my body along the way, and it treated me well in response. You know, I feel great now, and I'm able to do a lot of things that I could do before and then some. And I just want to encourage moms to not rush that and to not hurry it and do the things that you can do to make yourself feel good. The first thing I left Bella to do was get a haircut, and that was little, but it felt great. And, you know, and then like, yeah, like even just almost hard to say out loud, but like my vagina changed too. And it just takes some getting used to, and it takes, you know, getting accustomed to a new body and having a partner who's really appreciative and supportive of that. And I think that is just, will always be a journey, but especially within the first year postpartum, you go through so many different wavelengths that I would just say ride the waves. And if you're feeling it, you're feeling it. And if you're not, you're not. And just be vocal and communicate that. And one of the things I learned most from motherhood is communicating my needs. And so if I need a massage and I need emotional intimacy to get turned on, it's going to have to happen or else it's not going to happen, you know? But I, you know that now those things matter more to me, and I feel okay to ask for them because I birthed my partner's child. So, and just because it makes a great relationship, you know, we're just learning more about each other. And I realize there's more that I need to get in the mood, but I'm happy now to ask for them because we have better sex now than we had when we first met. And I think that's saying something.
Oh my gosh, can you just repeat that? Because again, that place of after you get married or after you have kids, this just this belief and stigma that it just goes downhill.
Yeah, and that's just, again, something that I want to reclaim. Like, that's, I'm not willing to live the rest of my life that way. No, thank you. In fact, with my partner, I've always imagined that our sex life is only going to get better and better over the years. And that's one of the areas that I feel excited about marrying him in a couple weeks. And granted, you know, that's just a contract. We're already engaged. We're already have a baby. But, like, I think that's one area of our life that we're going to only continue to evolve and grow. And a lot of that is because of the spirituality, energetic aspect of it. I mean, you could do different positions. It can be physical and it only is going to get you so far. But when you continue to create this intimacy and this bond, I think there's just limitless potential there. And I'm excited to continue exploring that.
Yeah. So, and I think you're speaking to that piece of, like, there is that physicality, there is the body piece, and like speaking to even the expectations you have of your body and what it should do or not do, or God, it's changed, it hasn't changed, but there's so much of a range to sex, the energetics, the spiritual part, the emotional part. Like, there's, it's not just on one plane that we have sex. I mean, that's what we've been taught, but there's so much more to it. So much more intricate and complex and rich.
Absolutely. And for me, when I first started having sex, I was older than most people, I think. You know, I was 19, and it was almost just like an experiment for me, and I sort of shut off emotionally. It was more just like a physical thing, and I and then once I started like dating someone seriously and started sort of again reclaiming myself in that relationship and just realizing that I wanted it to be about me instead of just pleasing others all the time. That was part of the experiment before, was like seeing how others reacted. And then I realized this needs to be about me more. And it made me realize that when I have, especially getting more into yoga around that time, to me, like every person that you have sex with leaves an imprint on your energetic body. And for me to fully enjoy a sexual interaction, I need to be emotionally turned on by that person. And that doesn't mean I have to know them forever. It could be someone that I just have a spark with in the night, but I realized how much that is a part of me enjoying intimacy and enjoying sex in general, whether it be, you know, a physical experience, but also there has to be something a little bit deeper. And I think that's something that can be enhanced as well, at least the energetic side of things.
Yeah, and I definitely want to dive into that. But before that, I wanted to speak to that body piece again and the expectations around it, because before we hopped on, you mentioned a story around, you know, this someone you knew that had that consideration about birthing because of her body and how that might affect sex. So I do want to talk about a little bit more about that body piece, and then I would love to then go into the energetic piece because I know you're like a wizard at that.
Absolutely. I think that's a great thing to come back to, because I was telling you that I have a friend who is an OB, and she is an awesome OB, awesome friend, but she is very clear that she wants to, I think, do in vitro, have twins, and get a C-section. And a large part of that, I'm sure, is the control piece, but I think it's also because she doesn't want her vagina to change and alter and be different. And she's an OB, so she's probably seen how that can happen a lot. And for me, I pushed for almost 4 hours. I did end up with some stitches. Like, things definitely shifted on there. They changed. And that was part of the, like, whoa, like, is that going to be like that forever? And yes, it's just different. But I don't know. I guess everyone's, you know, everyone wants to birth differently. And I respect however people want to do that. And to me, a vaginal birth is really important and a big part of the experience that I was aiming for. And, you know, whether they say a lot about the health of the baby and yada yada, and people can choose their own direction. But to me, it's like, yes, my vagina is different, but it doesn't detract at all from the sensations that I feel, you know, incontinence. Like, and if you do have those issues, then you should see a women's health physical therapist. Very, very important. That you should feel normal down there. But yeah, to me, like, I don't think there's any right way to birth, but don't be afraid that having a vaginal birth is going to ruin you for sex. Because that's not the case. We're in a very enlightened world where there's so much help that you can get to repair whatever happens. And I think that the benefits far, far, far outweigh any disadvantages. If anything, actually, a C-section is cutting into your abdominals, and your pelvic floor is intimately related to your abdominals, and you're going to have just as much recovery repairing through the C-section as you are through an intense vaginal birth. So to me, it's tit for tat. And like, things do change down there. For me, they're just ever forever going to be a little bit different. But like, for the most part, things feel great. And I actually just went to see a women's health physical therapist yesterday, because I wasn't sure if things were back the way they were. I had a little bit of organ prolapse, which is where your organs come into your cervix after pushing for so long. And I saw her yesterday, and I still have just like a tiny little bit of that, and she's going to help me. And it only takes like a couple of weeks to feel totally normal again. Wow. So I just want moms to know that if they're worried about that, or if they are dealing with that, it's something that they can absolutely seek a specialist and get help with. And you should feel amazing down there.
And I loved what you said earlier too about things change, period. Our bodies change, period. I mean, to think that our bodies are not going to change, I mean, they do. And there's a life cycle to them. And at the same time, and the more I've been reading about sex and sexuality, and, you know, I mean, it was a joke that Bob and I used to have about, we wanted to do a podcast called Sex After 60, because again, the stigma around the older you get, you know, that your sex life goes down the shitter. And it was like, that's not true. You know, it's just not true. But we have so much conditioning around that, and think that our body aging and changing is a death sentence in a way for our sex. It's just not true.
I know, it makes me so, I'm like holding my hands in my head. It's just so frustrating to even think that people just okay, well, that's the way it is, you know. So yeah. One thing that came to mind to me when you said the sex after 60, and I'm not 60, so I don't know if this is true, but it is true for moms, is don't be afraid to use as much lube as you need to enjoy your experience. They say that for breastfeeding mothers, because a lot of your fluids the rest of your body dry up. And yeah, just use it.
Makes sense. Yeah. There's no shame in the lube game, people.
Yeah, totally. Quite the opposite, in fact. No.
Right, exactly. A lot of pleasure, a lot of sensuality in the lube game.
Yeah, awesome. If it's a natural salve that you make yourself or whatever you use, but like, yeah, it's worth it. So.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Which then leads me to, again, this place. And I'm so curious about it, because I just feel like I'm scratching the surface around the energetics of sex. And so, yeah, like, let's talk about that piece, because I feel like it's this whole other world with unlimited possibilities. And And it's also education and practice. So I would love to hear about kind of your philosophies and also just your personal experiences and practices.
Absolutely. So from probably my early 20s, I remember thinking, when I'm a little bit older, I'm going to teach people about Tantra. And I, you know, if there's anyone listening who is a Tantra master who has a ton of knowledge about it, don't quote me here. This is just my experience and what I know, because I'm also starting to learn in terms of the like classical educational side of things, pairing with what I've learned on my own in experience and just understanding the energy body really well. But yeah, I think it's really a fascinating thing to understand that we can manipulate our energies and we can manipulate the energy that is created during sex. And for example, prolonged orgasm, for example, heightened orgasm, for example, you know, I've been able to have an orgasm with just my breath before. Wow. And that was when I was practicing yoga for an hour or two a day, every day, living in Argentina, just like super jazzed and happy on life. That yoga energy in my body was really strong. But you practice these energetic engagements in this breath and you know, I can have like almost like a mini orgasm just by engaging my pelvic floor and breathing correctly. And right now I'm working on that because I that's why I went to see the women's health specialist, because it still doesn't feel in a lot of ways how it used to. And she confirmed that I feel I am really weak down there. So that's something for me that I'm excited to build back up and recognize that, okay, that's something that I can change pretty easily. But when I'm having sex, I can still channel that energy and I can feel it. It's just that I'm not having breathgasms all the time.
Breathgasms. Love it.
Yeah, so I mean, that's just sort of my experiences just from having sex, recognizing for me, I have to hold out my breath to orgasm. And I think it's, you know, maybe not with a partner, but when I'm on my own, because I had to teach myself to orgasm. It wasn't something that someone just did for me, and it was something that was sort of elusive. So I just was like, you know what? I'm going to figure this out. It's worth it to me. I know I can. I know I can make it happen. I also want to just quick touch, reach out to all the people who maybe haven't orgasmed or wonder if they can. Yes, it's possible. Maybe this will help you, but to me, channeling the breath is what made it happen for me. And I realized that I have to breathe very deeply. I imagine breathing all the way to my toes. And then I have to exhale and I have to hold the breath out, because for me, that creates so much more sensation that that's what allows me to reach an orgasm. So like that was my first experience in really truly like pleasuring myself or having pleasure in an intimate way or a sexual way. And from there, like I just moved on from that. But I realized then when I was connecting with other people that it would make their experience stronger too. So it was just sort of an interesting thing that I've been playing around with over the last, what, 11 years or so. But yeah, and I don't know, maybe try that for yourself next time.
I know, I was literally like, okay, do you breathe in through your nose and then out your mouth? Or
no, like I hold the breath out until it's happened. And then so like I, you know, I'm breathing and I'm like getting there, and then I take a deep breath and I breathe all the breath out and I hold it and I do that over and over again until it happens.
But so is there a holding when you breathe in and then breathe out and then you hold again and then kind of repeat?
So like I breathe out, I hold it. And then if it doesn't happen, then I take a deep breath out. Deep breath in, I breathe in, I blow all the breath out, I hold it, and if it doesn't happen then, like, I just keep doing that, and I usually get closer and closer, and then it will usually happen while that breath is being held out, and the longer I can hold the breath out, the longer I can hold my orgasm.
I see. Okay. Wow. I'm going to practice this. Totally. Yes, I love having homework.
Well, it's crazy because like now I don't really usually like two or three is my magic number for when I feel finished, because I, like once you build up that energy, it's sort of strong and you almost have to like continue to release it. But I've gone like, this is where I'm like, I hope my like parents aren't listening to this. But it's
just don't give them the link.
But yeah,
just
I've been on my own having like 15 to 20 orgasms at a time.
Whoa. Like,
yeah, because you could just build up this energy and then you just use it. And then usually there's one that comes and I'm like, okay, this is it. Oh, that was the biggest release. I don't feel that energy anymore. I'm ready to like roll over and pass out, or like I just smile and laugh and whatever, you know, normal stuff. But yeah, I think it's cool to learn to build up that energy through breathing so fully. You're imagining your entire body filling up with this energy, this like beautiful, wonderful, healing light energy. And then you breathe it all out. And then you just, that's to me where I feel the most sensation, but play around with it too. Maybe you feel more sensation holding the breath in or some variation of that. But I encourage everyone to just explore it.
And really quickly, is this something that then you've now incorporated with your partner where he's practicing this too, or is it really just like on your end and like that's enough?
So that's almost more when I'm on my own if the focus is just on me. When we are together, one of the biggest things that I've noticed is usually because it is such an energetic experience for me, when my partner is orgasming, it encourages it, like I do too, just because I'm riding that energy, whether I'm like physically or whatever. And when he's orgasming, I engage my pelvic floor. So in yoga, we call that Mula Bandha. It's one of my favorite things to teach people, but you're just lifting your pelvic floor in and up. And I engage that when he's orgasming, and it usually prolongs his orgasm much, much longer. And if anything, just think about this, you know, men, so it's a root chakra, basically, is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's this energy center located at the very base of your pelvis, and it's very masculine. So it's the male sex organs. It's, you know, this primal instinct. It's what controls that, you know, sort of masculinity. Mm-hmm. Especially with the penis anyways. And so I imagine that when they're orgasming, or like right when they're like closing to be done with it, I imagine that energy, and I engage my pelvic floor to encourage it, but I imagine it just moving up their body, which makes sense because everything's moving up at that point, you know? So I imagine it continuing to move up and up and up and up and up their body, and just not like, okay, now we're done, but no, like building that energy and sending it upward and using my pelvic floor to create even more of that upward movement. And then it like fills your whole body. And then I even use my hands. So I like scratch the back, I like massage the head, I move up and down their spine, just like all of these things that engage the energy body helps along that feeling of sensation that feels amazing.
Wow. Oh my God, I love this. See, people, this is what's possible.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my gosh. I love this. Well, and I'm curious too, just as if there was one kind of piece of advice you would have for moms around their sex and confidence and, you know, this kind of this topic of motherhood, what would that be?
I think the first thing that comes to mind would be to lay on your back, bend your knees, feet on the floor. Lift your hips, place a yoga block or a pillow, two pillows underneath your hips so that they're elevated. They're hopefully above your heart, and engage your pelvic floor. So if you're not sure what that means, the best cues I can think of are hug your tailbone towards your sit, towards your pubic bone, and your sits bones towards each other. Lift everything in and up, or do a Kegel if that's what you know. Because after birth, after having children, gravity was pushing so much downward, especially with carrying a baby, that afterwards you use the lift the hips to use gravity to bring everything back up and in. Okay. While you're doing those pelvic floor strengthenings. For people who haven't had kids, I say just do those pelvic floor strengthenings throughout the day. And the only other thing that I could add to that, so, you know, maybe do 20 times of just engaging pelvic floor and releasing, engaging pelvic floor, releasing, and use that time to like say really amazing things about yourself. Think about how awesome you are. Think about what turns you on. Like, tell yourself the things that you want to hear to get turned on. Imagine whatever scenario is going to help. Like, so use that time as a positive time to really be connected to what makes you feel really good. So the physical part, and then the emotional piece, and then you can combine them all together, because that also, doing that exercise in yoga, it builds more confidence. It allows you to contain your energy, so you're not always giving it out to other people without saying it. Like, there's just so many benefits to that exercise of engaging the pelvic floor. And then if you are a mom, I encourage you to do it with your hips lifted to help use gravity to bring everything back up and in.
That makes so much sense. And I love that piece that you said about, and then speaking to yourself in a way that has you feel good. Because even this past week, I was thinking, I really want to get into this habit of speaking lovingly and sweetly to myself, and especially my body, because we just don't. And or we hear so many messages from the outside speaking to the contrary that I just am like, I really want to get into that practice of speaking lovingly and sweetly to my body.
I think it's a really nice practice. Yeah. One other thing that I just want to add to that I think is sort of important is that doesn't mean that you feel this all the time. It doesn't mean that every time you're having these mind-blowing orgasms. To me, if you focus on orgasm being the point of sex, then you're really putting a lot of pressure on things, and sometimes you lose the fun part, the intimacy part. And you know, I had, when I was like in my 20s, I was dating this guy in Argentina, and he was sort of a dick, but he was awesome at the same time, you know, that how that goes. Yes. And didn't last long, but we had fun. And I remember him, like, you know, being like, oh, is that the face you make when you orgasm? And after that, it, like, really triggered me to be, because I was still new to everything, and I was just like, oh, I guess that's, like, you know, not, I shouldn't be making that face, you know, or whatever. And I know, right? And yeah, not a great guy. But and then I realized, like, well, that's a beautiful face to be making.
Yes.
Your face is a beautiful face. But for so long, for me to orgasm with a partner, I would, like, you know, hide them from seeing my facial expression. Wow. And I was okay with that, because I was just like, you know, whatever. Like, if I'm going to have to, like, you know, just use a pillow or, like, push against the wall so that I feel this. And sometimes I do that too. Like, I used to push against the wall to feel more intensity. Mm-hmm. That was just a thing, and I had just sort of accepted it. And then I was with my partner the other day, and there wasn't an opportunity to hide. And I realized, like, I'm marrying him in a couple weeks, and he's going to be my husband. Like, if I can't show this to him, then who can I?
Yeah.
Really freeing moment. Cause at that point we worked through it. Like, we didn't talk about it, but in my head I was just like, okay, like, you're just going to have to let that go, because it's not worth holding on to anymore. And it's something for me to release. And if I can't do it with him, then it's not going to happen with anything. And I'm ready to just not have that be a thing anymore. So yeah, to me, like, that took a while, and I didn't even realize it was a thing for a while. And it felt good to finally communicate that to him. And then we moved through it, and it's just a never ending evolution of what works for you, and maybe any trauma that you're overcoming, or maybe, you know, and trauma, like, it wasn't that traumatic of experience. You just said, oh, is that the face you're making? And, but after that, I didn't want people to see me, you know? And so I just want to share too that, like, it's not always what you think in terms of perfection, but just aim for it to be a fun, enjoyable experience, and then play around with your breath and see where it can go.
I love that. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing all this. I know I got a lot out, and I'm really hopeful that others did too. And so just in closing, if there's anything else you want to share, just more about kind of what you do, I'll definitely have information in the show notes of how people can reach you. But if you want to share any of that, I would love to open the floor for you to just let people know what you do and how they can find you.
Sure. Yeah. My website is jessicaenergy.com, and I work with people here locally in person or virtually over Skype or the phone. And I do energy work. I do energy healing, which is one of my favorite things in life. So I go through, like I was talking about, that root chakra. And some people, their chakras or these energy centers in their bodies are totally blocked. And it's really nice sometimes to have someone go in, and, you know, it's not even a physical thing. You don't touch the person, but just to help release any blocks that could be there. Or sometimes, especially for moms, I feel that we can be, our energy is overflowing and we don't know how to slow it down, which is equally just as important. That's something that I find with a lot of healers. They find the most relief when I close their energy centers down. So I think, you know, my thought is, yes, I can help you, but you can also find someone locally who can work with you to work with the chakras and open things up that maybe haven't been opened in a long time, and to do it in a safe, intimate way. And then just practice yoga. Like, find teacher that you like. I have a postpartum course that I've created, a resource of all of these classes for moms that I've shared because it's so important, and they're short videos. So it's called Mamas with Spirit, and that's on my website. But yeah, just practice yoga and find a teacher who's really good at explaining and sharing breathing exercises, because that to me is the practice, and that's where we build such confidence and such strength and grace in our practice in our body. And so yeah, practice yoga and find an energy healer and do both often.
And rinse and repeat. Yeah,
totally. And I do have some videos on YouTube of just some mellow breath work and things like that. But again, you can find that through my website, or all of my handles are just Jessica Energy, because I want everyone to experience this incredible energy that they're made of.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. And yes, people, like, I will vouch for her. I just went to Jess's solar eclipse yoga in the park, and it was just really beautiful, because it is like she has a way of deepening the practice, and it's not, again, just a physical experience, but it really is that energetic and spiritual part too, which I think is so important. So thank you so much for being on with me today and sharing your love and wisdom. And I just fully endorse everything you're doing with mamas, especially around the sexiness and confidence piece. It's like so
and needed. Remembering not to take ourselves too seriously.
Yes.
And-
yes. It's
okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate being here and getting to share some of this stuff. That feels really therapeutic and healing for me to get to share too. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Taboo and Turn On. I really hope that this gave you some insight and also hope into the other side of motherhood, the side that we don't talk about, which is what is possible in your sex and your confidence, and also the freedom that comes from talking about and sharing all sides, again, the taboo and turn on of motherhood. Last but not least, if you are wanting some support in your life so that you can have the most turned on life possible for you, I would love to support you. If you go to thisturnedonlife.com or even tabooandturnon.com, and in the menu bar, there's a work with me button, and you can find out all the ways that I can support you around your life and how you can literally create the life of your dreams. Until next time.